And then we'll take a break. So 31 is Creel Survey Enhancements.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. I'm Cameron Goble, fisheries biologist in the Upper Missouri River Fisheries Management Area. And I'm going to be talking today about some new survey methods that we're using to try to gauge angler harvest and use on our two big reservoirs. Excuse me. Well, the projector's coming up. I do want to acknowledge that this is a project that I was very fortunate to inherit from some of our previous staff in this office, Hillary Morey in particular. She's still with the department. She just moved to a different position. Okay, so traditionally in fisheries management, we are generally focused on fish populations. That's what we're trained to look at in schools, and also fish habitat. But another aspect that we really need to pay attention to is anglers. So it's kind of a three-pronged component that goes into a fishery. And so with that, our goals and objectives are to develop cost-effective ways of actually assessing angler success, angler use, and other things associated with our anglers, because ultimately we're tasked with providing a good product, good fisheries for our anglers, while at the same time conserving our fish populations. So primarily we want to collect this information with better accuracy and precision, because if we're collecting data that's not necessarily accurate or reflective of what's happening on the reservoirs, that can have impacts on our management decisions. And with budgets tightening, we also want to reduce the amount of time and money that we're spending on conducting these surveys without losing any of the accuracy or precision that we've had in the past. And in recent years anyway, our creel surveys on the two big reservoirs, Owyhee and Sharp, have been restricted to basically the summertime. So we have interns that come in, do most of the surveys for us, and it typically happens between May and August when these interns are available to us. And that's also when we get, a significant portion of the use on these reservoirs. But we're also potentially missing some of these shoulder season fisheries, the salmon fishery on Owyhee, for instance, pike fishing in the spring. So we may not be capturing that with our traditional survey methods. And just as an estimate, I pulled together some numbers from 2017. This is kind of our historical way of actually surveying the anglers. And best estimate is we're spending somewhere over $40,000 out of our office just to survey these two lakes. So we had almost 3,000 seasonal and intern hours dedicated towards collecting this data. Associated that with that, we also have daily per diem. These are 10-hour shifts. We have interns that are working all the way up to Mobridge, down to Big Bend Dam. So they're away from the office. They're collecting per diem on those. And we have the fleet mileage and fuel and everything associated with those interns getting out to these different spots. And with our old survey method, we used to do aerial flights to estimate fishing pressure on Owyhee, where 8 days a month, we would go out and fly from basically the North Dakota border to Owyhee Dam and back up and count the number of boats that we could see from that and then extrapolate our monthly pressure from that. So we had costs associated with just the flight itself. We had full-time staff hours that were going into that. And altogether, it's adding up to over $40,000 every year. So our traditional surveys, we have interns going out collecting information. We had people going out and doing counts at all of the boat ramps, counts of shore anglers, interviewing people to see how many fish they're catching, what species they're targeting, and so on. And on a good day, it was very efficient. We could have a lot of interviews, we could have a lot of counts being done. But we also had instances where there were no people out there, but we still had our, with our survey design, our interns had to stay at a boat ramp for a certain amount of time. So it was kind of inefficient in some cases. And not just in South Dakota, but around the country and around the world, really, people are starting to go towards these remote user detections. So kind of taking the time and the labor effort out of it and trying to detect how many people we have going to these areas remotely. So Australia and Austria, various different studies. And right here in South Dakota, this is something that's been used for quite a while. One of our biologists in the Black Hills District, Greg Simpson, has been using game cameras for a number of years to survey areas that it's just not effective to send a creel clerk or an intern out there. A lot of these remote trout streams and things like that. So he's been very successful with the program there, and we wanted to see if we could adapt this to our large reservoirs. And we've played around with a few different ideas, and what we've come up with is using vehicle counters. So this is an electromagnetic counter. It's a tiny little box. I guess the dimensions got cut off, but it's about 6 inches by 3 inches. They're easy to hide, so we don't have people messing with them too much. And they actually do a really good job at detecting vehicles going in and out of areas. And so we have those. We'll set them up in just a regular conduit box and put those out. We try to disguise them near these access points where we have a pinch point where we know that we're going to be able to detect these vehicles going past. And the other nice thing that's been, or for us anyway, is the Parks Division has been using these for quite some time, and they have a really extensive network of these counters around the state on a lot of the water bodies, and they've been fantastic to work with. They offered us access to the data and some of the techniques that they use for estimating these. So focusing in a little bit, we started the project two years ago, on Lake Sharp. This was the existing network of counters that the Parks Division had out. So they basically had coverage at all of our access points. It didn't cost us any money from the Wildlife Division to be able to access that information. We did put out a few extra counters here and there on spots that we didn't have coverage, but overall it was very minimal startup costs. And so from those counters, we're counting the number of vehicles that are coming into a site, but we ultimately want to know the number of anglers that are using that site. So we have a post-processing process that we go through with our data. So we have daily vehicle counts that's shown up on the top there. This would be an example of if we had two boat ramps. And then we have to take out our false detections. There are some possible false detections that happen with these. So we remove those, and then we want to figure out how many of those vehicles that are going in and out are actually towing trailers. And we use game cameras to do that. So we survey the parking lots just to see how many of the vehicles from our counts are actually towing boat trailers. Then we want to know how many of those are recreational users versus anglers. So we go through and we pull information from our interviews and our creel clerks to filter that out, which gives us the number of vehicles towing fishing boats at each site. And then we go to the number of anglers. We get that from our standard interview information. And ultimately, we end up with the number of angler hours or fishing pressure, which is one of the metrics that we're really interested in for these reservoirs. Just a couple of examples. So Lake Sharp, we've been running this for 2 years now, just looking at fishing pressure. The white bars would be 2018. The yellow bars are 2019. And we have it broken down by month. So with these counters, we get really precise counts. We have essentially real-time counts, so we're almost doing a census of the number of people that are using these sites. And from year to year, we saw a significant decline in pressure on Lake Sharp. kind of not unsurprising, just due to the weather conditions, the Bad River was extremely high flows. It wasn't really all that good of fishing on Lake Sharp early in the year, so we lost a fair amount of pressure, particularly in those early months, and then it started to kind of level out a little bit towards August. And you know, what we're really interested in is, are our fisheries providing a good resource for the sportsmen and women of our state? So we look at things like walleye catch rate. It's South Dakota walleye are king. So one of the main metrics that we look at is how many fish are anglers catching? How many walleye specifically are anglers catching? And we can look at that over kind of a long-term time frame. And for Lake Sharp, our catch rates this past year, well, the past several years have actually been above the 10-year average. Lake Oahe, we saw a similar drop in pressure, not as dramatic. And on Oahe, we did not switch to this method until 2019. So I do caution making a direct comparison among those. So in 2018, we were still doing the original flight surveys. And what we're coming to realize is we may have been overestimating pressure just using that method based off of the fact that we would only fly on 8 nice weather days, basically. So we were expanding pressure across the month based on 8 days that it was safe to fly and count boats. So we're fairly confident in our estimate for 2019. Again, the comparison between the 2 years, I don't know how accurate that actually is. But with our catch rates, you know, what we're seeing on Oahe, and this is something that was presented at the Oahe update meetings recently, catch rates are fairly close to the 10-year average. And one thing that our anglers tend to look at is, well, it's below the 10-year average. But in this case, if we look at 2012, 2013, we had extremely high catch rates. That was post-flood when there wasn't really a prey base out there. So if we were to remove those spikes when catch rates were abnormally high, we'd probably be right around average on Lake Oahe again this year. So just kind of a summary and kind of, I guess, getting to the probably the important part of things, we're saving a substantial amount of money by going to this method. So we've cut out the flights, 8 flights a month, 3 months out of the summer. We've cut that out entirely. We've also saved a substantial amount of money by reducing the amount of time that our interns have to spend out in the field. They don't necessarily have to go to every single boat ramp to count pressure because we have these counters out there that are doing it for us. And so our best guess, just based off of kind of the rough numbers and the startup costs and things like that, is we're probably saving $10,000 or more dollars annually to survey each of these reservoirs. And just kind of the take-home messages, we're fairly confident that we're improving the precision. So just I didn't put any of the measures of variance up there, but since we're taking more counts, we were able to get real-time counts at all these sites, we're improving the precision of our pressure estimates, which we then extrapolate a lot of things from. It's increasing collaboration within the department. So we're working, like I said, closely with Parks Division. They've been fantastic in providing data from their counters to us. We also work with the Corps of Engineers. They have some counters out too. And it's a cost-saving thing. So we're able to use our interns' time to go out and do other things, and we're not spending the money on the flights. And then it aligns with a lot of the strategic plan objectives for our management area and that the department has put out. And I guess this would be a good time. It also would be a good time to plug. We have a new database management system, and this integrates very well to that. So everything that we've done is switched to kind of an automated data collection system. Our interns have tablets. They're uploading data every day. It goes directly into the database management system. And we have a fantastic database manager, Nikolai O'Hara. He definitely deserves a shout out for dealing with all of the data that we end up dumping on him at the end of the year. And we've been bouncing around some ideas of how we can use this to almost provide a real-time update for our anglers on things like catch rates, pressure, you know, where are people fishing, what are people catching, things like that, so we can potentially use this data management system to add information to our website and make it available to our anglers much quicker than we traditionally have been with the old surveys. So with that, I think I would take any questions or...
Questions. Do you address the whole AIS issue when you're out doing creel surveys and with interns out there?
Mr. Chairman, we have specific AIS interns that are hired every year. So we typically hire a set of interns for fisheries management activities, and then we hire a set of interns specifically for AIS work. And we tend to not have them do the same thing at the same time, because we really want our creel interns focusing on getting good interview information and, you know, providing that angler use information that we need. And then we want our AIS interns really focusing on the AIS inspections and the decontaminations. And we do rotate people through so they don't get burned out washing boats all summer, but we allow them to work on everything that we do in the office.
Sure. Thanks. Any other questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we have license sale update, and then we'll take a break before we go to parks.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Heather Villa, Wildlife Administration Chief. If you could turn to page 32 in your books, it's not the typical doom and gloom for me like we've experienced the last few months. So we have been showing about a 19.7% increase in our license sales over this time last year. You'll see that equates to about $400,000. And if you look at some of our larger increases, you'll see our combination licenses for residents have increased about 2,700 licenses. We also have increases in our resident junior combination as well as our youth small game. And I would like to think that a lot of that is due to having a year of Governor Noem, and she really has encouraged folks to create outdoor families. She's kept that at the top of everyone's minds, get people outside, do things as a family outside, and I think our numbers are reflecting that. Also, so far we've had a mild winter, which I probably just jinxed, but we can hope the weather continues and we continue to have increases in our license sales. I take any questions.
Questions? Comments? None. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay, let's take a